Hey everyone, how's it going? My name's Jordan and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Lucky Dip podcast. Today's podcast is going to be all about learning, and that's more for myself, what I learned kind of running this esports org, doing a pitch, learning some of the business stuff, and then also maybe some things that you listening out there can learn if you're looking to kind of get into this industry, and just some tips and advice I kind of have since I have a bit of a new perspective. But before we get into that, we are going to have a bit of housekeeping at the very beginning here. And if you're new to the podcast, my name is Jordan. I'm the co-founder of Cryus Gaming, a Canadian esports organization. We currently compete in Rocket League, but we are also hoping to expand into some other games soon. And now that we're just in a pitch competition, which is what most of this podcast is going to be about. And leading up to that, it took about a month straight of work and time. And if you listen to my last podcast episode, episode 38, I believe it was, you'll know how much work it kind of took and kind of the struggles I was having, because it takes away from other parts of the business because there's only a few of us running the org right now. So it's kind of difficult to have something take up so much time. But anyways, now that that's all over with, the pitch is done. We'll talk about the results. We'll talk about everything relating to that in this episode. We have a lot more time now to focus on what we want to do, and we have a bit more clarity and we have a bit more drive to do it. So that's kind of a little bit about me. And for all of you who have been listening for the past year, I think we're actually almost about at the year anniversary of Lucky Dip. Within the course of a year, I forget how many weeks there are, but I think in a year there's like 50 something weeks, and we have 39 episodes. So therefore I have been consistent, but not quite at the level where I was every single week. So we took a couple weeks off sometimes, and well, I just took a couple weeks off like not too long, like literally the past 2 weeks. So that's just how it goes sometimes, but we're trying to stay consistent. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening for the past year, and we're going to continue doing this podcast. It's going to continue to grow, going to have continuing things to say. And let's get on with some housekeeping things real quick. So yes, it's been a couple of weeks. The reason for that is because, well, there's a couple of reasons. First, it's because I worked on the weekend 2 weeks ago, and when I work on the weekend, it's difficult to do the podcast on the weekend because I'm working, and sometimes I forget to prep beforehand because I only get one day off, so I have a lot of things that I'm trying to do, and then, yeah, so that was one of the reasons. And then last weekend, it was because of the pitch, so we had the pitch competition, so that's why I was busy, so I didn't upload a podcast episode then. And I was traveling back to Calgary for it. That's also why, because the whole weekend I was gone for like 5 days. Didn't have my podcast equipment with me, and it was also just like a nice visit because I'm not going back for Easter since I was already back, so it's just nice to visit, relax, and all that, see everybody. And then just as a quick update, I do have some new shift changes at work, so I'm going to be working every single weekend now, except, well, 3 weekends out of the month, because I have a new role in my content producer job where I'm going to be the weekend editor. So essentially I'm the boss on the weekends, checking everybody's work, making sure we're getting stories out, kind of seeing what everybody should be doing. I myself will also be putting out a story or two on the app. And so that's kind of nice. It's like a bit of a promotion, more so just for experience. So there's no price, no raise increase or anything, but it's just a little bit extra responsibility. So it's nothing crazy, but it's also that next level. So it's something really good to have for a resume. It's really good for experience. And it's going to be nice for the summer to try that out and see how it goes, because it's kind of like the next step in any job that you're doing is kind of good to test out if that's what you want to do, if you want to keep expanding and growing, essentially. So yeah, but this podcast is going to be split up into two parts. The first part is going to be the pitch. And as you can tell by the title of this podcast, it wasn't successful for funding, unfortunately, but you can't win if you don't fail. And I think we learned a lot. And it wasn't necessarily a failure on our part. I mean, some of it probably would have been, because we probably could have had an even better pitch or better ideas, gotten our point across more. But I'll explain why it wasn't necessarily our fault. And I don't want to shift the blame, but it's kind of true. It's what we were told. But second part is going to be about lessons learned. And that's really going to be the second part of the podcast, is going to be where I'm going to be telling some lessons and stuff. And maybe since I've reached a bit of clarity, I sound like a Scientologist. I'm sorry. But since I'm not a Scientologist, I'm just saying, like, because I reached clarity, and that's, anyways, I have reached a bit of clarity within kind of the esports org and stuff, and that's sort of not just the org, but I mean for our org, I think we've kind of reached the point where we need to reshift our focus because we've been neglecting a very important part of esports for the past year. And it's something that was supposed to be the foundation that we've neglected. And I'll get into what that is later on into the podcast. So first, let's start with the pitch. It was a great experience. And I think before I actually talk about the pitch, I want to show you guys the pitch. So I'm going to play the pitch for you. The audio, it's only a 5-minute pitch. So if you're listening on 2x speed, it's 2.5 minutes. So my name is Jordan, this is Alex, and welcome to our pitch for Cryus Gaming. Now, before we talk about Cryus, I want to talk to you about our main inspiration, 100 Thieves. They're one of the most successful esports teams in the United States. They compete across multiple video game titles, and they have a massive fan base. Now, when Alex and I first met a few years ago in our program, we wanted to join 100 Thieves for their production team as part of an internship we had to do, but we couldn't get it because we're Canadian. And, you know, that sounds a little sad, I know, but it actually really got us the drive to want to do it ourselves. And last year, Cryus Gaming began. But there's still a few problems that we face in Canadian esports that our American competitors don't really have to deal with. So sponsorship is the main revenue driver in esports, but there's a gap here between sponsors and teams, where often the teams here don't have the necessary framework relating to branding, meaning they can't get viewership. Tons of these teams are competing, but they aren't being broadcasted, so therefore they're not being showcased.
So here at Cryus Gaming, our solution is to bridge that gap by working with teams to put on a broadcast for them. Essentially, what we are doing is we are facilitating a broadcast to allow teams to work on that brand engagement, as well as giving them the support that they really need to build that brand awareness and also supporting them with event coordination. Essentially, what we are doing in a nutshell is we are giving these teams a platform to showcase their skills to a wider audience while also welcoming them to bring in their smaller, more condensed communities to work with us and hopefully build that viewership component. So let's talk a little bit about the market opportunity. So we all know that esports industry is on the rise. We've all heard that at some point. But in a year where pretty much all competitive sports, games, everything were affected by COVID-19, the esports industry actually held strong, bringing in $641 million of revenue from sponsorships alone. And as you can see here, there are some conventional gaming brands, but there are actually other brands who aren't traditionally in the gaming space that are starting to take notice, indicating that it's a very opportunistic market. And so let's talk about why that market is appealing. So this is our current target market at Cryus Gaming. As you can see, it's actually relatively small, and that's because it represents only one esports title. We're focusing in on the players, but quickly we get that hone in on that competitive focus, hence the esports component of all this. And our target market is essentially a domino effect in the sense that as we expand and reach more game titles, our target market will grow. It essentially will multiply depending on the game. But we found our focus here right now with the Canadian collegiate players.
And this is a map of 17 different teams across Canada and the universities they represent. So these collegiate teams work with us right now, and they have really validated the problem and the solution that we're offering for them. And like I said, they compete in our events, and they also give us a lot of great feedback so we can continue to improve our future programming.
And so now you might be wondering, we found this great, great market to work with. How are we going to turn that into money? And it all comes back to the monetization and sponsorship component that I touched on earlier. In fact, 75% of esports revenue right now actually comes from sponsorship. So to have a successful business model in the esports industry, these are both a requirement. And it goes back to the viewership component. Both monetization and sponsorship are driven by viewers, which we are doing our absolute best to drive at Cryus.
And this is how we're going to do it. So this year, we're going to stay in the online space. We want to continue working with the amateur and collegiate scene, but we also need a local sponsor so we can start having more events. And with that, more teams and bigger prize pools to entice them. Next year, we want to start having some live events and partner with a regional sponsor so we can help bring those events to life. And we're going to shift our focus over to the semi-pro scene. And a couple years from now, we'd ultimately like to bring Canadian esports to the North American level, competing in lots of North American events with our American friends at the pro scene, having multiple national sponsors supporting us. As I said at the beginning, my name is Jordan. I'm one of the co-founders, and I have a communications degree, a marketing internship, and I currently work as a content producer in Kelowna.
And I'm Alex. Like Jordan, I also had the pleasure of graduating from the communications degree focusing in broadcast media studies. My background comes from the community programming space, but my forte is the live event production element of it. And we also quickly want to introduce you to Dawson. Now, Dawson joined Cryos Gaming as a player back when we started, when we basically founded the company. Since then, he's transitioned to an advisory role, and don't get me wrong, Jordan and I, we're gamers, but we'll leave the competitive stuff to the pro players, and Dawson brings in a variety of perspectives from that point of view. And so our ask, we need your help. Essentially, we all know in the media industry, the higher budget, the higher the production value. So we are asking for $10,000 from JMH & Co. to allow us to expand our operations and improve our production so we can in turn drive that viewership component. This money would go towards things like building out assets, building filler content, coming up with content ideas to make it a more engaging viewer experience, as well as bringing on talent staff to make the broadcast, once again, more engaging. This also would go back to our target market where we would like to expand into more esports titles, effectively growing our market and increasing that viewership component that we're relying on. And so with that, we'll leave it to questions. We're hoping you have a lot, and thank you so much for your time today.
That was the pitch that we did for Cryos Gaming, and it was a really, really good experience. It was so nice to be back because it was at the university that we graduated from last year, except in our final year of university, obviously due to unforeseen reasons regarding the pandemic, we weren't able to attend classes, so we actually graduated online. We did our entire last year online, so it didn't really feel like we finished school because we didn't get to see any of our friends. We didn't get to work with any big equipment. We didn't get to be in the studio. For those of you who aren't aware, we went to broadcast media, or that's the degree that we have, broadcast media studies. So we would do lots of like live productions. We would have radio stuff we could do. We had podcasting equipment. We had so many cool things that we just didn't get to do for our last year because of the pandemic. And that's where it's like, you can't blame anyone for that because it's just, everybody struggled through it. Very sad thing that's happened, of course, and something that's changed a lot of us and that none of us expected to have happen. And luckily didn't have anything too bad that happened through it. But that is one part that did kind of suck is that we didn't really get to have our final year of university. So it was nice to be back. It was definitely nice because that's the university that I was at for 4 years. So it was really, really nice to be back. That was my first time being back there for 2 years. I don't live in Calgary currently. I live out in BC. I live in Kelowna, which is about 7-8 hours away, depending how many stops you take. I know my mom listens to this, so I'm going to say it takes 8 hours. It's 8 hours away. No stops. Not that I drive the good. I drive good. I'm just saying. Sometimes the roads are empty and it's a straight line. But anyways, so it was really nice to go back there. I hadn't been back to Calgary since Christmas. And I also hadn't done the drive, it's a nice drive. But I haven't done the drive since October of last year. So it was just nice to get out there for a bit. And it was more of a stressful vacation, you could say, because obviously we had that pitch competition, which takes a lot of time, especially when I'm not a business student or anything. So trying to figure out the words to use and trying to figure out kind of that business side of esports is something that's very new to me still. So that was a challenge. And the biggest challenge and the reason we didn't win any funding, unfortunately, is simply because the judges didn't understand esports. They didn't really understand the scope of what we do. And they just didn't understand kind of the future or the vision for what esports is going to become. And that's the part where we might have been able to do a better part of explaining it, because what you have to remember is you just listen to the pitch. That's 5 minutes. That's only 5 minutes to say one aspect of what we do, one problem and one solution that we're giving. Now, for most people who we were competing against, they had more simple things like selling candles or selling, I don't even remember what some of them are. It's been a while. When I'm just focused on what we're doing. Not that I really respect what everybody else did, but it's like you're really focused on what you're doing, so it's very, very stressful. But anyway, so they were easier businesses for the judges to understand. It was easier for them to say, if you get this funding, it'll help you scale this amount. You might not be successful. You might be. That's okay, because it's not their money. They're just, it's donated money. But it was just easier for them to understand all of those classic, I'll say, businesses. We were the only one that were different. And sometimes when you're a bit ahead of the curve, too ahead of the curve, people don't understand it, and they're not sometimes willing to give you funding or give you money to help support those goals because they don't understand what it is. And I don't know why I'm being careful with my words, because I'm not saying anything mean, I'm not saying anything rude, I'm not bashing anybody, but it's like I sort of get it from their perspective, but then I just want everybody to see it from our perspective, where in 5 minutes we can't say every single thing that we do, because the way a pitch works, which you listen to, so I don't want to reiterate everything, but you have to kind of give a problem, you have to give a solution, you have to sort of show how big the market is, you have to show how you want to grow as a business, you have to show how you're building it, why you're a good team for it, and you have to then ask for money and kind of validate the problem and stuff as well. So being in esports, we have tons of hats that we wear. We do a ton of things. And if you notice in the presentation, we didn't mention Rocket League. We didn't mention that we're competing currently. We have a team competing. We didn't mention any content strategies we have besides streaming. All we focused on, because we had to be very, very hyper-focused on one thing, which we thought the judges would understand, is our broadcast. So that was the main problem that we were focusing on. And if you remember, this was a few months ago, or I think I might even put it in the podcast actually, last episode, is it started with that server issue with esports, where I kept thinking to myself, why is there no place for us to go where we can meet other Canadian esports orgs, where we can see players, where we can watch people grow? So then we turned that into a server, and we turned that into the scrim streams, which you've been doing for a couple of months, actually. So that's kind of what we focused on, was collecting all of these players, all of these teams from across Canada at the collegiate level, and also a couple of teams in the States as well, providing them with broadcasts, you know, uploading the clips, uploading the VODs, which we have to do better on. And that's where I'm saying this is also our part, because we have to start doing better on some of this stuff on the content side. But we focused on that as the problem, being that they're not being showcased. And it is true. And we've heard things about other leagues that they're competing in at that level where they're just not run properly. And we're not trying to be a league. We're just trying to showcase some good Rocket League, host some tournaments, showcase some practices, give these teams the opportunities to connect with each other through us. And then ultimately, the more that we get, the more people we get taking part in these streams, the more viewers we get, then the more that sponsors will want to work with us. So it's kind of like we're the filter from sponsors. We'll give us money because we're getting viewership and whatnot. And then we're filtering through to all these other teams to give them a place to be showcased. And a few of these teams are doing broadcasting. They are doing streams, and that's great. That is really great, and we need that. We need more of that. I want every single one of these teams to have their own Twitch channels. I want them to do that because we need that as for the industry to grow. And what we're doing is also a little bit different, because lots of these teams that I said that we're working with are at the collegiate level. So if they are streaming, they'll be streaming their collegiate matches and whatnot. So ours is a bit different because it might be open bracket, or it's just scrimming, but we're trying to put them against other teams, and then they can scrim for an hour. We just do a best of five on stream, and it's just a good way to show off your skills, and it's more of like a fun community event that we really think the Rocket League players and the Rocket League community here has been enjoying. And that was kind of what we're trying to explain as well, is how this is our first step. We're working with these schools to hopefully get this framework done, to get the infrastructure, to get that base set. And then we can start moving up to even higher skilled players. And I'm not saying that these varsity level aren't high skilled players. It's just different, because varsity is different from like the bubble scene, which is a semi-pro scene, which is just about that level where they're pro because they're in the varsity programs and stuff. And that here is not nearly as well made or well infrastructured or well, that was a weird word. It's not as well, I don't know the word that I'm trying to say, but the Canadian esports here at the collegiate level is not at the same level it is in the States, but that's just with everything in general, essentially, because like the college atmosphere in the States, there's a lot more people, there's a lot more money in it. I mean, they have NCAA, they have lots of stuff for traditional sports. We don't really have that as much up here, but we still have like nothing for esports relating to anything with the schools. It's just like clubs essentially that are doing it. And there's a few who are doing it better than others. University of Alberta, Keanu College, UBC. Those are just a few that are, oh, and then obviously into Ontario, like St. Clair, they have the best one by far. They actually have funding, and they have some of the best players, and they actually have a esports program that's like legit. So a lot of these colleges are, like up here are doing it, but not to the same level as the States. And I'm talking myself in circles, but all I was trying to say is we had to focus on one thing, and that one thing, I guess, just wasn't enough to warrant the judges to give us some funding. Now, I will say that I didn't expect us to win $10,000. That's what we were asking for, but I didn't expect it. I expected us to win something because they had money that they could allocate to different groups. And I thought we were going to get a bit of something because I knew that they might not fully understand it. And I know that it's different. And I know that maybe they couldn't justify giving $10,000 to us so we could improve our broadcasting. Because again, that's what we were asking for. But that money would have gone to way more because we do way more than our broadcasts, right? But again, we had to only explain one little part, and they just didn't get it. But I could see if they didn't understand why we needed 10 grand for just a broadcast. But that's where it's like we couldn't quite explain, and this is where it might be on us. We couldn't completely explain how this would help us and the fact that the broadcast is one thing that we do, right? That's just one little aspect of what Cryus Gaming is and what esports is as a whole. So I don't think we made that point super clear, and that's where I'm saying that that part is on us, because it probably would have been better to sort of explain at the end. And this is just one part of what we do, but we also have a competitive team. We also have this and this and that. Maybe it would have confused them again, but at the end of the day, they were still confused about esports. So really, we were trying to play it cautious, and I think we might have played it a bit too cautious because all we focused on was one thing that we do without explaining the scope of what we do. And I don't know if we hyped it up enough, and I don't know if we... Well, clearly the point didn't get across to them, but all I'm trying to say is that they didn't understand esports, and I'm gonna complain for 2 seconds here. Because I already said how it might have been our fault because we might have been too broad, or we might not have encapsulated the entire scope of esports, might not have hyped it up. To be fair, it's hard to do in 5 minutes. It's also hard to take all of these ideas because esports is so new, so there's not a lot of numbers, there's not a lot of data, there's not a lot of teams up here in Canada, so we're trying to shift around, focus on something, and then give problem solution, whatever that I said earlier. But now the one part I do want to complain about is the fact that even though these judges might not have understood esports, and the thing is they were all alumni. This was the 10th anniversary, so these weren't like super old business people. These were people who won in the past, and they were probably all in their late 20s to late 30s, somewhere around there. I'm not entirely sure. But these, I don't know how these people, how these judges didn't understand it at all, and how they didn't see that what we were doing and what we are doing is going to be the new norm. Because I've been to some stuff here in Kelowna, some Web3 conventions. I've been to some things like that where I'm just like listening to speakers or doing stories about it. And although I don't understand that completely and I'm still weary, I know that that is going to be the future, like all the metaverse stuff and everything. Maybe not the future for everyone, but that's going to be like the new norm. Just like Facebook was, just like Instagram was for Web2, just like everything we've been doing for the past 10 years online with apps and stuff. This is going to be the new wave, and esports is going to be part of that, and gaming is going to be part of that, because we've been a metaverse for the past however many years. And I'm not going to go into details about that. If you want to listen to that, I have a podcast episode called Gamers Entering the Metaverse, and I completely explain everything, and I still stand by everything that I said. And I think that gamers have been on top of this, so we fully understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that we had such a unique idea compared to everybody else, and we were pitch finalists, so I want to say that I'm proud of us for that as well. But the fact that they didn't see that vision and they didn't want to take a little bit of a chance to give us some funding and see where they're going to take it is the part that just kind of frustrates me. They just gave it to people, and this is where I don't want to downplay anybody else's businesses, but they gave it to the people who have the standard businesses. They sold items. If they got the money, they'd buy a bit more equipment so they could sell more items. That was literally what every single pitch was. But ours is different. Ours is connecting with people across Canada. We've been doing things for a year. We have a team competing. We're doing broadcasts. We're trying to expand on this thing called esports that is on the cusp of something great. And for the fact that they, in the innovation center, in the entrepreneurship community, they didn't want to give us any funding, is that's the part that's a bit mind-boggling. It's like you didn't want to take a chance. And okay, I should back this up by saying that the reason it's frustrating me is so there was four prizes for $10,000. I didn't expect us to get that. That's what we asked for, but I didn't expect us to get it. So four people got those prizes. Then there was I think it was a $10,000 or $5,000 social enterprise one, which we weren't even contending for because we're not doing social enterprise work or working with the community in that way. And then there was a $15,000 branding package that we also didn't ask for. All we asked for was the $10,000, right? But I didn't expect to get it because there was another award called the Alumni Award. And that's from the successful alumni who pitched and everything, put a prize pool together, and it was $5,000. That's the one I expected us to get because I expected everybody else who had the standard business to get the more funding. I expected the really good social enterprise ones to get that funding, to get the branding. But I expected them to give us this almost as a handout to be like, we don't understand it, but we're going to give you this funding and let's just see what you can do with it. It's half of what you asked for. It's half of what everybody else got, but we're going to give it to you. But the fact that we didn't get it and they give it to somebody else who already won $10,000, that's the part that's a little frustrating because it's like instead of spreading it, and this is where it's just me thinking that it's unfair because I want everything to be equal, but yeah, I wanted to win all of it. It's very, it's a conundrum I am in currently. It's a little bit of a juxtaposition, you could say, where we were in entrepreneurship, I want to win all the money, and yet I'm complaining because we didn't get a bit of the pie. But the reason is because if they already won something, it would have been very nice to be like, we understand that this is new, we don't fully get it yet, but take this $5,000 award and let's just see what you can do. And that is what I was expecting. And as soon as we didn't get that, because that's the very last award to go out, I was like, it's okay, we don't need to win this money. And then when we didn't get that one, I was like, we didn't get that one. And it was somebody who already won who got it. So that was the part that I personally was very frustrated with. And now I wasn't in the judges room, so I don't know how it went. But I will say that we had tons of people we networked with. And this is where I want to say it was a great experience. Not only was it nice to be back, but we networked with a lot of people. We were in a room presenting in front of 300 plus people in the business community, in the entrepreneurship community. That was amazing. We got to talk with a ton of people, meet classmates from last year in our Launchpad class that we were in. We met a ton of them, which we never met because it was online. So we met them in person. We got to meet people who know people, who have connections out in Vancouver with the gaming stadium. We met somebody who has a connection out there. We have people who have connections with marketing agencies who've worked with sponsors who can help us. So it wasn't a complete loss. That's what I want to be very, very clear. I'm allowed to complain, but I also want to make it very clear that we learned a lot. It was a great experience. I'm just frustrated at that aspect that we didn't get any funding because they didn't understand it. And that's literally what one of our instructors told us. Oh, and before I get to that part, the people that we're working with, like the people who've been helping us, they're not our instructors anymore, but like they're within the Innovation Center and they were our instructors for our class last year. And there's like three of them. They all said that we had a great presentation and they literally said, we're just worried that the judges might not understand it, but I wish we could just go in there and tell them to give you guys some money because you deserve it. You've worked hard. We get it because they've been working with us for a year, right? So they understand it a lot more than 5 minutes in a pitch. And they kept telling us that it was a great presentation, so don't feel bad about that if you don't win. We think you deserve this money. You deserve a bit of it. I wish we'd just go in there and shake the judges and just say, just trust, just do this. Just give them a bit of money. So when we didn't win, they were just as disappointed as we are because they didn't have any say in it. They're just the ones who helped us get to this point. It was completely up to the judges. They go into a separate room and they decide on their own. There's no outside influence, which is good. That's the way it should be. But it didn't work in our favor because there was nobody there to fully explain, to answer questions, or to convince them otherwise that they should give us some money. So I just want to say thank you, though, to everybody who helped us throughout the process. They're going to continue to be there to help us and support us, which is amazing. Thank you to everybody that we met. Thank you to everybody who watched the presentation. And then the final thing that I just want to say about the pitch before we move on to everything that we learned as an org, which is where if all you are out there listening and want to start an org or you're struggling, I'm going to give you some clarity right now or in a second, actually. This is where I'd run an ad. It'd be a perfect place to run an ad if somebody wants to sponsor this podcast. This is where I'd run the ad. I just wanted to say, I forget now. I literally forget what I was going to say. Networking, what was it about? Saying thank you. I already said thank you. Meeting people. They're going to give us support. Congrats to everybody who won. I don't remember now what I was going to say. That's actually hilarious. I lost my train of thought because I was talking about where I'd put a sponsor in. So I completely forget. That's actually so funny. Oh, yeah. I remember now. I just want to say, too, that it was really cool because we pitched our business in front of so many people and we got the name out there and it was streamed, right? So we got Christ, the name out there to people who might not have even heard of us before, people who might not even know what esports is. Now we got them thinking, huh, there are people here doing that. And that part is really cool. The fact that we have been working on Christ for a year and we went in front of a group of 300 something people and told them, here's our idea. We want money, all right? That's kind of a scary thing to do, but it's really cool to get. We were at that point where we became finalists. We're one of seven people pitching. Like, that is impressive in and of itself, the fact that we were accepted, that we got to go up there and pitch, that we are finalists in this huge launchpad competition at Mount Royal University. And we got the name out there. So that's about all we can do at this point. But now let's talk about the second half of the podcast. I'm probably going to keep this one short because A, my battery's dying. B, I also got to remember I put the 5-minute pitch in here. And C, I don't need to drag this on for too long. I'm going to try to get a guest for the next podcast episode. But lessons learned. Listen up, everybody. This isn't solid. This isn't set in stone. Things might vary. Things might be different for different people. But here's some things that I personally learned that we need to implement more. And here we go. Esports is advertising. It's as simple as that. Back when we first started, and even in the past few months, I kept struggling with the idea, how do you make money? Because esports is so new. There's not a lot of data out there, like I was saying. You can't really just look at some other esports orgs and know their entire business model. And I'm not going to say everything for about a business model because we don't even have that made yet completely and set in stone. But I was always so confused about how these people made money. And then I just reached that point of, I get it now. It's advertising. Esports is advertising. Just like traditional sports, it's advertising. You watch any game in the broadcast, there are commercial breaks. Everything is sponsored. In the field, things are sponsored. Teams have sponsors. That is how you make money. That is the biggest revenue driver in esports. It accounts for about 75% of revenue. That is where you make your money. And that's the point where I reached that kind of clarity, because I kept thinking, maybe there's a different way we can make money. Maybe we do it through this. Maybe we do it through that. It's advertising. We need to build our brand big enough so that way sponsors will want to work with us, want to give us money because we get viewership, so they get eyeballs onto their product. They might get people buying their product through us. And the nice part about, I just want to say this, the really cool part about esports is that it is such a cool community, and it is such a focused target market depending on each game even. So we know the demographics of everybody, and I'm not saying other industries don't. Obviously they do, but I'm just saying we also do. So we can say, depending on this title, these are the exact people that we're targeting. These are exact people, the ages, what they like to do, who they are as people. Give us some money from the sponsor, and we'll meet the needs of these people. And then that's also nice for our viewers, for our fans, is that since we know them, we connect with them, and if we work with brands who we also believe in, and that can help the viewers satisfy some of their needs, it's kind of that nice bridging that gap between sponsors and the viewers and everything, because it's through us and it's more of an intimate experience. That's where esports is so cool, because it's much more of an intimate experience for the players, for the viewers, and in my opinion, for the sponsors, because we aren't like these massive corporations in traditional sports where do they have the CEOs, the owners of these massive teams taking the time each week to do podcasts to talk to people and be like as real and raw as this? Do they, like, they don't have that aspect because everything is so built in that they just have the team, they focus on the team, they get their sponsors, their team plays, they want to win, blah, blah, blah. We do too, but since the infrastructure isn't built, and I mean like the broadcast, the TV networks, we have that on the internet. But we have to build it ourselves. And that's why it's called Twitch channels, YouTube channels, because we, as Cryus, are a channel. So we need people to tune into our channel. And yes, some of the pro level and the CDL and the RLCS and Valorant, Apex, they have their own channels when you're competing at the pro level. But since esports as a whole isn't at the part where at the same place yet as traditional sports, where there's that many eyeballs, that many people watching, we need to have our own channels as teams, as esports orgs, to build that hype. And the only difference is that we are doing it on the internet through YouTube channels, through our Twitch channel, where we're broadcasting, we're streaming games that aren't being streamed, we're showcasing other talent across Canada, we're giving people the opportunity to cast, we're giving people opportunities for on-air talent, people opportunities to be showcasing their skills, people opportunities to help with the broadcast behind the scenes. And that's really cool. And that's where I'm excited for the future. And that's kind of where I reached that point of clarity where us as an org We need to get eyeballs on us. And that's exactly what Hector Rodriguez, Hex from Optic, has been saying. And I didn't understand that until we finished the pitch. Because I realized, I'm like, they kept making YouTube videos, but I'm like, I don't really see the point. And it's so stupid of me because I get it. And it's such a simple idea. You have to give the people a reason to watch you, a reason to support you, a reason for brands to give you money. If that's the main revenue driver, you have to do vlogging. You have to have podcasts. You have to have content that people want to see. You have to have fun content. You have to showcase your wins, your losses, build your social media presence, because you have to be a force to be reckoned with. You have to have that fan base behind you. And that's what Optic has done so well, because they have that such a strong community, the green wall behind them, supporting them. It's a good and it's a bad, because if the team's not doing good, the fans can be ruthless. They can be the ones who people don't want to... I don't know how to explain what I was going to explain. But regardless, what I'm trying to say is that we have been neglecting content for the past year, and that's what we really, really need to work on. And the thing that makes me so angry about it, and this is just me personally, makes me angry about myself, is that I had these ideas set in place last year. I've been building these ideas about content and everything for years. I've been on YouTube since I was 13 years old. I know what we have to do, but what I don't do is execute on it. I've never been consistent on YouTube. We didn't implement these ideas that I had. I didn't try to keep bringing up any of these content ideas, these content pillars, these YouTube ideas, these blah, 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 whatever it is. And that's the part where I'm just mad at myself, because in a year of barely uploading content, I always think back to go, what if in the past year we did stay consistent with content? What if we did do the ideas that I had, right? And that's the part where now that's going to be my main role. And that's where I'm going to try to shine, is to be like, we're going to bring this to the next level. We're going to be making YouTube videos again. We're going to be doing even more streams, which Alex does a great job streaming, but we're going to do even more. We're going to kind of develop that community, get people involved from our servers, get people involved on different social media platforms, upload to all different social media platforms, give people a reason to fight for us, give people a reason to want to root for us, root for our teams. We're going to expand it to new games now, so we can create more content with those teams, so we can compete in different titles, so we can get our name out there across different games, not just Rocket League. We want to get content creators so that way they have the opportunity to be part of Cryus, so that we offer them something, because I'm a content producer. I have a degree in communications. I can help them take it to the next level. We can help support them, help support their brand without choking their brand, meaning we don't want to shove Cryus down their viewers' throats, because that's not the point. Yes, we want some cross-branding, some cross-promotion between them. That's the point of a content creator. Yes, we're going to have them in content, but they can still do what they do. We're just going to offer them support, and they're in turn going to offer us some of their viewers. They're going to tell them that they're part of Cryus and kind of build from there. So that's kind of the main thing that I learned, and that's the main thing that I'm going to start focusing on now personally, because we have... And I also do want to say, these aren't like excuses or anything, but in the past year, when you're first starting an esports org, before you actually get a team, before you've actually done anything, when you just have that idea, you have tons of ideas. But when the reality of it sets in and it's your first time doing it, it was our first time having a team, it was our first time trying to figure out how to do leagues, it was our first time realizing that sometimes we can't stream games, or that games aren't being broadcast for certain leagues, and we're trying to figure out the landscape and everything. So that's where it was harder to do content, right? Also, everything is online. And that was one of our excuses, is it's online, so we don't want to have content that's not good. We're just going to wait. But in hindsight, that probably isn't a good choice, because we have to there's ways we can do it, and we have to start making content. We have to get people rooting for us. We have to build an audience, because that's how we make money. Now that we didn't get any funding from this pitch, we're running low on our funds from a pitch we won last year. We need sponsors to make money. In order to get sponsors, we need to have the viewership. So that's the part where I'm saying now, for my role, that I want to really focus on. And I'm not saying this is solely my responsibility, and it's not my sole idea. I met with Zuki yesterday for 3-4 hours. We were meeting yesterday to go over a huge to-do list that we want to do. Alex has been great running the streams, helping some business stuff too. So that's kind of his specialty. And then Zuki and I are talking about content. We're reaching out to different players. We're reaching out to people in different games. So we've been doing a lot of work. That's where I don't want to take the complete responsibility and say, I'm doing this. I'm the Dark Knight Rising. It's not at all like that. We have a team behind us, but I'm saying now that we have the team behind us, I can kind of shift my focus away from some of the little things that I was focused on the past year and start to focus it more on this content and take that on, and to be like delegating a few things, but also working with people like Zuki so we can come up with the YouTube video ideas. Then I'll edit, I'll help film most of it. He can help with ideas. He can be in the content. We can get more other people in the content because we still have a huge group of people that we work with. But I'm going to try to take on that responsibility of I'm going to edit this video. I'm going to get this final piece out. I'm going to meet deadlines, right? So I'm going to be the kind of the head of content, if you will, for this side of things, but have other people helping with it as well and kind of be open to tons of different ideas for videos and all things like that. So that's where I'm excited, but I'm also mad at myself because when Zuki and I met yesterday, I literally went into our Google Drive for Cryos and I showed him April 1st through April 22nd of last year, I had the ideas that we are starting to implement now. And I forgot about them because I didn't do anything with them. I had YouTube ideas that we sort of did and ideas that we're going to take now and start to do. I had three pillars of content that was completely split up in an easy way to understand for the viewer. I had an idea for us to host scrims because people were looking for it in other servers. And that's what we're doing now. We're taking a step further by broadcasting them. So it's like I had these ideas set in place, but yet I didn't execute on any of them. And then I completely forgot about them and they sat in our Google Drive for a year. And now we're at the point where I'm like waking up to that again and being like, dude, like you had those ideas, so let's start doing them and let's build it from there. So that's what we're going to kind of do. I'm excited to see where this goes now. And I just want to make sure that I stay driven. And I think that not winning might have helped us more than winning because now we have that drive to, we need to make money ourselves. We need to make money as an org because we don't want to do this as a hobby. I'm doing this because I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I want to be able to have teams in pro leagues. I want to be able to make really good content in a variety of different ways. I want to be able to work with sponsors, to be able to give more people opportunities, paid opportunities for fellow Canadians who want to work on broadcasting. I want to give internship opportunities to people at Mount Royal University, opportunities that we didn't have. Because we were Canadian, there was no place for us to go. I want to give people the chance to build their name in esports. I want to help content creators take it to the next level. I want to help us and our competitive players reach their potential. And that's what we're going to do. And that's where that drive has kind of sparked even more so than it would have if we won, I think. Because that would have been great validation. But now that we didn't get it and we've reached that part where we're like, this is how we have to make money, we have to do it because we didn't get any handouts. We didn't get any cash handouts, I'll say. So now it's like, all right, we're going to show all of these people who didn't understand it that they should have understood it. We're going to show the judges that, hey, we know you didn't understand esports, but look where we're at now. I'm not saying you missed out because you wouldn't have had no interest in our company as in like they wouldn't have owned any of it. But I just wanted to show you guys that we were right. We were on the right track. And it's okay if you didn't understand it, but I hope you understand it now. And I want to show them numbers. I want to show them success. And I'm not doing this out of spite. I'm just doing this because I've realized that people still don't get this, and we do. And now we know how we have to do it, so we have to do it. And this is kind of part of me holding myself accountable as well, that we have to do this. We have to readjust our strategies. We have to have more, a better branding. We have to have a stronger image as an org that we share across the people in our org. We have to make sure we have a good mission statement, value propositions. We need to focus on that business part too. And that's also where the pitch helped with that aspect, because before that, we never thought about any of that stuff. At the very beginning, we did. Like a year ago, when we were in our business class, we thought of it. We didn't for a year until the pitch came up. And that really forced us to think about that. And now that's really forced me to reevaluate some things and to go, we need to have a stronger brand image and we need to share this across Cryos, because we need everybody who's a part of Cryos to understand our values, what we offer, what our idea is, what our goals are as a company. And therefore, we can give that idea to the fans and to the people as well. That's just simple marketing. I never took marketing classes, so I'm learning this on my own. I'm reading books right now about marketing and stuff because that's important. That's what we need to do to reach that next level, to get sponsors, to build viewership, to build fans, to build a strong identity within Cryos. We want so many people to join Cryos that we can't simply have everybody on. And we need, in order to do that, we need to have those strong values, that strong community, that good working environment, and that idea that we all want to reach by building Canadian esports. So I think that is everything that I wanted to say for this podcast episode. We're going to continue to focus on some branding now, marketing, business, all of that, working on our values, coming up with those content ideas, and go from there. So with that, Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned some lessons. I definitely did. And I just want to, again, say thank you to everybody for all the support. We had lots of people from Cryus watching the live stream because it was being streamed on YouTube. So they are watching it there when we were doing the pitch. They're supporting us in our server. They're supporting us on social media. And I just, again, want to say congrats to all the winners because that is huge. That is great. And a lot of them had awesome businesses. And we're going to show everybody what esports is. I'll see you guys next time. Have a great rest of your day. And this was episode 39 of the Lucky Dip Podcast.